KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today for a very important program on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, as we look at our nation today, we see that we're in rapid decline from the core principles of liberty upon which we were founded. And it's not only liberty, but also our core Christian values that form the very bedrock of our nation. Just look around. I mean, we're seeing a growing tide of hostility against biblical Christianity, and it is worsening. This attack is not only coming from without, but also from within. As there are calls being made to remake Christianity, to make the narrow path much wider, to affirm a new so-called progressive Christianity, to ignore key biblical doctrine in an attempt to show love and compassion, to be less exclusive and more inclusive. In essence, these things take us away from thus saith the Lord to instead question, yea, hath God said? How did we ever get to this point? How do we stay the course of sound biblical doctrine while at the same time addressing a culture in need? Can our nation be fixed, or must we do like so many are advocating, to tear this nation down and reimagine, rebuild a new country? Well, joining us today, we welcome Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Emeritus of the Moody Church in Chicago, where he served as senior pastor for some 36 years. He's a speaker on various radio programs such as Running to Win and Songs in the Night. He's the author of numerous books, including the recently released We Will Not Be Silenced. Dr. Lutzer, thank you for joining us today.
I'm so glad to be with you today, Jim.
Our nation's in a mess, as you know. You write about it, and we look back to our founding. We look to the values and morals, the ideas that built this nation. I know we're going to be discussing many of the nuts and bolts here, but Dr. Lutzer, how did we ever get to this point?
Well, you know, I began to realize that cultural Marxism, which is distinguished from classical Marxism, cultural Marxism means that we can bring about a Marxist economy and a Marxist culture incrementally. And it dawned on me that the radicals, the radical left, do not believe that America can be fixed. It has to be destroyed. Its institutions have to be destroyed. And on the rubble of our Judeo-Christian heritage, a new America will arise. And that new America will be free of white supremacy and income inequality and racism, and everyone will live on happily ever after. And if you don't buy into this, you are bullied and shamed, shamed oftentimes into silence, to be quiet. And so that's where we are really at. And one of the things I show, and you've hinted at it in your question, Jim, is that the vilification of our history, you know, that America's this terrible racist nation that is to be hated, all that is part of it, so that we can build the new structure. While I'm on the topic, let me say that, let's take, for example, Black Lives Matter. Do Black Lives Matter? Of course, all Black Lives Matter. But the organization that takes that mantra is Marxist and admits it. And we'll have time to talk about all these things, I'm sure, as the hour progresses. But the thing that happens is that's why you have racism today. It is intentional to try to keep the races in perpetual conflict until the oppressors are actually subservient to those who are oppressed. So all of these things begin to make sense. I also wrote the book to show parents oftentimes why it is that when their kids return from college, why do they come back hating America? And then in each chapter, I discuss the response of the church to what's happening.
Yeah, and that's a very fast overview. And folks, this is a book that once you pick it up, you want to continue reading on and on. There's so much information. Matter of fact, you spend some 8 chapters writing how radical secularism is trying to remake our nation. And you indicate that to control the future, there has to be this rewriting of the past. You referred to that just a moment ago. Why is it so critical to rewrite the past? Why is that important for their plan to succeed?
Well, unless the past is vilified, people are going to continue to honor our past. They're going to continue to honor the founding fathers. And so what we have to do is desecrate them. After all, they were slave owners, so their monuments deserve to be thrown down to the ground and smashed. And the problem, of course, is America isn't perfect, never will be. And yet there are 40 million slaves in the world today, primarily in India and Africa. I'm not minimizing slavery. I don't minimize its effects. It was horrible. But that's not a reason to discard our past and to think that if we build a new Marxist future, equality is going to reign. There are plenty of problems with that. And by the way, I mentioned earlier Marxism, mm-hmm. you know, cultural Marxism.
Yes.
One of the things that they wanted to do is to destroy the family.
Yes.
Why do you think that Black Lives Matter has that on their website? It's because Marx viewed the family as a unit of oppression. Oppression is the key to history. So men oppressed their wives, parents oppressed children. They took them to church. The church oppressed all of them, and the ultimate oppressor is God. And if we could just get rid of oppression, why, indeed, human nature would flourish, everyone would get along, and we'd have that elusive goal called equality. So all of that underlies what we see happening today. Racism, economics, name it. It all goes back to that.
Indeed. And so, folks, this dismantling of the nuclear family, it's an obstacle to Marxism and must be knocked down. As we're talking about this rewriting of our nation's history and so forth, it appears that this 1619 project fits hand in glove with the remaking of America. And I know even right now this is really an issue within the Illinois legislature about forcing this in all Illinois schools. But the 1619 Project does exactly that, and if people hear those terms going through their school district, their ears ought to perk up.
Oh, Jim, I want every parent, every grandparent, every school child to be listening right now. The 1619 Project is a targeted project to try to trash America, to show that it was built on slavery and capitalism. And the intention is to get people to hate America. Now, will they rewrite the history of other countries depending on when they began to have slavery? Of course not. And another thing they will never do, Jim, is compare America to other countries. You know, the important thing, Saul Alinsky emphasized that, because if you... who was a worker here in Chicago, a community organizer that we could talk about, who was Marxist. Here's the problem. If you compare America with other countries, it's hard to get people to hate America. So you never compare it with other countries. You just look back and you trash all of its history so that you can rebuild it and you can now come up with a new Marxist idea as to what America should be regarding law and education and economics. And out of this new America, utopia shall indeed arise.
Mm. And in our culture today, I mean, everyone is a victim. I'm a victim. You're a victim. I mean, everyone's a victim. How does being a victim play into this equation?
Well, let's talk about race. What happens in our culture today, especially with critical race theory, is to divide people, and this is purely Marxist, to divide them into two categories, the oppressors and the oppressed, the victims and the victimizers. And if you are white, that means that you are an oppressor and you are a person of privilege, even if you were born into poverty. But if you're a black American, and you're wealthy because you've done well, as millions have, you are under the you are part of the oppressed groups, and you are a victim simply by the color of your skin. Now let's take a deep breath and look at that more carefully. Could there be anything more racist than people being judged by the color of their skin? What did Martin Luther King teach us? He said, let's not judge one another by the color of our skin, but the content of our character.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you really do, what is the goal here? The goal is not racial reconciliation. The goal is to keep the races in perpetual, unending conflict. And, you know, I asked someone at the Moody Church who was born in Ghana and raised here in Chicago, and he said it so accurately. He said, we are told that blacks will not change until whites meet certain standards, and because those standards are impossible, the conflict has to continue. And I couldn't have said it better than that.
As a matter of fact, Chapter 3 is on this very issue, to use diversity to divide and to destroy. Let's talk about social justice with this. Define what is social justice and how is that being used to destroy us?
Well, first of all, there's biblical justice. The Bible has a great deal to say about justice. But one of the things I noticed, Jim, is that you have these cultural warriors who read the book of Micah and they come across that verse, you know, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice? And once they get to that phrase, they fill it in with all kinds of Marxist ideas. It's their view of justice. It's not a biblical view of justice. And what are those things that they fill it in with? Income inequality.
Mm-hmm.
That there should be, you know, an outcome of rights where outcomes should all agree, where you have such things as reparations being paid. This is justice. And so you go on, and oftentimes that's what social justice is all about. It is the trying to get the oppressors, the whites, to confess their whiteness as sinful and bow and try to somehow bring about a form of equality that is nowhere in the scriptures. God did not treat Hammurabi the way he did Abraham. And Jesus told a parable in which one man was given 10 talents and another 2 and another 3 and 5 and 1. And there was no such thing as income equality. So, what is the response of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this? Oh, Jim, Christians need to wake up and realize that Amen. Only the gospel has the answer to this kinds of nonsense.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, our guest here today on Crosstalk, Pastor Emeritus of the Moody Church in Chicago, has authored a book entitled We Will Not Be Silenced. And friends, we'd like to, I can tell we're only going to scratch the surface. There is so much content in this 280-page book. It's dynamic. It is a must read if you really want to know where we are in society today, how we got here, what is the plan, and certainly our hope is in God, and we need to commit this nation to Him. It is truly a wake-up call. The book has just been released, and we're going to be sharing after the break how it is you can obtain a copy. Matter of fact, we would suggest multiple copies of the book, We Will Not Be Silenced. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, our guest. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president, author, and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the ark big enough to carry all the animals that needed to be on board?
Most assuredly it was, Chris. The ark was even bigger than it needed to be. Carefully estimating how many different kinds of animals there were before the flood and the average size, we see that the ark was more than sufficient for the task. In fact, it probably could have carried many more animals. I suspect that it also could have carried many more humans, too. But they had all rejected God's offer to repent and get on board. They died in the flood. But there was room on board. Chris, we don't know all the details about the flood, but those that we do know fit very nicely into the Back to Genesis truth of creation and the flood.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Thank you.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, our guest today. Our topic, We Will Not Be Silenced. This is a brand new book that Dr. Lutzer has authored. And as I mentioned, it is a powerful book. And when our bookstore got this, they said, we've got to get this in as many hands as possible. And so they worked out an arrangement with a publisher. And they, right now, for a limited time, are offering Dr. Lutzer's book at 50% off its retail price. It's normally $17.99, and folks, it's worth every penny of it. However, for a limited time, the VCY bookstore is offering this book at 50% off, or at $8.98, plus any applicable tax and shipping. The only way to get it at this price is by going to VCY.com. VCY.com, or you may call the bookstore right now, 1-888-722-4829. I'll give that number in a moment again, but we'd suggest you get not only a copy for yourself, but get one for your pastor. You may want to get a half dozen or so just to share with others, but by all means, get yourself informed, and the number is 1-888-722-4829. Dr. Lutzer, I really believe this is a must-read book for the church today.
And also for college students, they have to understand what's going on in those social justice classes.
Well,
and what they need to do is to understand that these things are not Christian, even though they are sometimes fed to us under the guise of being loving. They are intended to bring division and endless unresolved conflict.
And indeed, those words social justice are quite the buzz in our society today. How does the gospel respond to this? How is the gospel an answer to the social justice mantra that we hear today?
Well, you know, before the break, I talked about how social justice theories divide people into oppressors and oppressed, okay? And the oppressed have to overcome the oppressors. That's the goal. The goal is not reconciliation. The goal is failure to reconcile. And I point out that that's exactly what Saul Alinsky taught his students. He said, you know, don't solve problems, use them. Use them for power. And he was a committed Marxist. And all that has seeped into our culture. But here's the difference. What the gospel says is there aren't that many differences between us. The thing that unites us is we are all sinners. We all come to the foot of the cross and receive God's forgiveness. We need the same Savior, and that Savior makes us into one. And after we have come together at the foot of the cross and received His forgiveness and reconciliation, then we ask one another, what can we do to help the under-resourced communities? What can we do to make a difference in our community? But the goal is not to continue to divide and to destroy. The goal is to see that in Christ we are one body, we are one temple, and God has brought us together, and now let us do things together for the glory of God. Mm. That's the picture of the New Testament church. It's not where, you know, well, there are white spaces in evangelicalism, and there are black spaces, and all of this talk intended to keep the races divided and in perpetual antagonism.
It's certainly not the picture of Moody Church, is it?
No, at Moody Church, you know, we have about 70 different people, 70 different countries of origin every service. Now, of course, it's online because of COVID, but we rejoice in the fact. I told the people at Moody Church our vision was found in the book of Revelation, where you have people from every tongue and people and nation all gathered together. But in heaven, we're not going to have, you know, the white spaces and the black spaces and all these other theories. These are all intended to divide. We're going to be united in Jesus Christ.
Dr. Lutzer, you also spend some time in your book of indicating that the issue of sexuality has not only impacted the culture, but it's also impacting the church. So if you'd help us understand what's taking place both in our culture as well as the church.
You know, I'm going to comment on that in just a moment, but I also have to say that I know we have a lot to cover, but I have a chapter on propaganda that I think even relates to your question now. Remember what the purpose of propaganda is, and we don't see this any more clearly than we do in the whole transgender phenomenon. The purpose of propaganda is to so shape people's opinions of reality that no matter what arguments or counter-arguments are given to them, they will not change their minds. It's a discussion in which facts don't matter. And I show how this is being imposed upon the culture in so many different areas. We're living at a time when there's a great deal of propaganda out there. And you've had experiences like that where you have discussions with people where facts simply don't matter, and all of us can fall into that ditch, but the point is that it is deliberately done to shape the power of the masses. Now, with regard to sexuality, you're referring to chapter 6 in my book, Sexualize the Children. Jim, I want to begin by saying that parents no longer raise their children, actually. The cell phone does. And the cell phone in the hands of a teenager will do more to shape his or her view of reality than an hour of church and an hour of Sunday school. So our children are being shaped, first of all, by technology, which is a huge problem for us in raising children and a huge problem for the church. And what are we being taught? Well, you know, here in the state of Illinois, you mentioned Illinois a moment ago, there's a comprehensive curriculum. And basically, it is pornography for fourth graders and so forth. But remember the intention. The intention is to stimulate these desires in young people to destroy the normalcy of marriage, to bring about a situation in which there are multiple cases, of course, increasingly so, of children being brought up in one-parent homes. Why? Why is that important? Why is that important to Black Lives Matter? Explicitly so. It's because such children who are rootless are more easily led, and they can be fed the party line. They won't be influenced by their parents. They won't be influenced by the church. And so the destruction of the family is so important. And how to do it best, except by curriculum that encourage all kinds of forms of sexuality, to put these ideas in kids' minds and then have them live it out no matter how warped their view is. Now, just think of this. We are being told, even by a politician whose name I won't mention, who gave an interview to a gay newspaper about 3 weeks ago, and so forth, that even a child, if they say to themselves, I was born a boy, but in my heart I'm a girl, that has to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Did you know, Jim, that there are doctors today who tell us that they cannot give their best advice to their patients? If a patient says, I want transgender surgery, and the doctor thinks it isn't going to be good for them, it's going to create all kinds of problems. He cannot share that because he might lose his job. No matter what people want done to them, they have to be encouraged so that they actually have this happen. So we are being sold this bill of goods. Now, you know, and parents have known for a long time about the sexuality and the curriculum and so forth. And may I quote Hitler? I do in the book, because the same-sex movement, the gay rights movement, actually says that they look to Hitler for their view of propaganda. Because Hitler said, it's possible to make heaven appear like hell and hell like heaven with the right use of propaganda. So the point to be made is that there's so much propaganda regarding the sexualization of children, and it just leads from one thing to another, where freedom of speech is actually shamed unless you go along with the accepted dictums of society. And we're living at a time, oh yeah, and then I was going to quote Hitler and one other thing. Hitler said, whoever controls the youth controls the future. So that's why it is in communist countries, and Marx taught this, children should not be raised by their parents. They should be raised in state-sponsored schools that will teach them how wonderful atheism is and how free sexuality is really where it's at, and so forth. And you have that happening in an increasing way in our schools today. And where does this lead? Well, believe it or not, other dominoes are beginning to fall. I don't know, Jim, if you're acquainted with the word thruple.
Yes.
But that's now popular, yes. Where there are three people in a marriage, you know, maybe a man and two women, or two women and a man, whatever thing. They are a thruple. And now arguments are being made for pedophilia.
Yes.
Because remember, once you take that train, I quote somebody who was in the lesbian movement, a woman by the name of Ann Polk, who said, once God was no longer in my life, I could not say no to anything. So as God is no longer part of the discussion, we have no idea where this is all going to end, and it is ending very, very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And the secularists are winning the argument. Again, it's part of the destruction of America and our values to build it on a purely Marxist foundation.
But Dr. Lutzer, we make note of what's going on in our society, but this is invading the church, and it's invading Christian colleges. I mean, why are we seeing Christian colleges cave on this issue?
Two reasons. First of all, they are under pressure. They're told that they can't get loans unless they go through with the whole LGBTQ agenda. But secondly, I hope I can get this in before the break. Christians are so confused on this. They submit to same-sex marriage under the banner of love. Don't we need more love rather than less, they ask? They don't realize that love can be totally evil. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they didn't stop loving. They just started to love the wrong things. They became lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, lovers of self, lovers of iniquity. And so it is not true that wherever there is love, there is God. And parents oftentimes are in a dilemma when a child says, I think that I'm same-sex or trans. Of course the parents should love that child. But they also have to explain that you can make your decision as to how you want to live, but you cannot control the consequences. Once you go down that path, the consequences are out of your hand.
Friends, we're just seconds away from the break, and I've got a few more questions I want to get to Dr. Lutzer here before we open phone lines here for your calls, but you can obtain a copy of the book. It is powerful. It's impactful. It is a must-read for the church today. It's available half off for a limited time at the VCY bookstore, vcy.com. VCY.com or by calling 1-888-722-4829. And that's 1-888-722-4829. And I'd suggest making sure that your pastor has a copy of this. Be sure that your church leadership has a copy. Be sure you've got a copy as well. We'll be back in 1 minute with more information here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
As the end of the age draws near, the signs of the times will be impossible to ignore. Millions of people will suddenly be reported missing. A new world superpower will eclipse the United States. A global economy. The Middle East crisis will finally appear to be resolved as a world leader comes on the scene. A rebuilt Jewish temple to be usurped by the Antichrist. The Bible indicates that these and several other startling events will lead up to the fulfillment of the greatest prophecy of all, the visible, physical, and triumphant return of Jesus Christ to the earth. In the book, 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World, Bible prophecy speaker Dr. Ed Heinzen presents each of these events and how these events should impact people today. VCY America is offering one copy of the book for a donation of $16 or two copies for a donation of $25. To obtain yours, call 1-800-729-9829 and ask for 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Thank you.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is our guest here today, Pastor Emeritus of Moody Church. And folks, I told Dr. Lutzer I wish I had a few hours because there is so much material in the book. The sexualizing of children, that's one chapter. Capitalism is a disease. Socialism is the cure, another chapter. Freedom of speech for me, but not for thee. Use diversity to divide and to destroy. Join with radical Islam to destroy America. Folks, many meaningful chapters. As you know, Dr. Lutzer, there is a growing intolerance of biblical Christianity, and for a Christian to even question the ideas pertaining to things like immigration or the climate or sexuality, we're just talking about even Black Lives Matter movement, one is branded as being hateful, bigoted, intolerant, racist, and nobody wants a label like that.
That's why one of my chapters, actually is chapter 9 as I look at it, is entitled Vilify, Vilify, Vilify. We're living at a time when arguments are no longer settled by discussion, but by vilification. So you're absolutely right. If you take a position, you are called hateful. For example, I argue in the book about the whole immigration thing, that I believe in strong borders. And, of course, you get criticism, you know, you're hateful, you don't care, and so forth. But we need to be able to take that and move on. We cannot be shamed into silence. You know, there are plenty of people listening to this, and they are not so much talked out of their faith, but they are being mocked out of their faith. And my argument is that it is so necessary for us to speak. We don't shout like the radicals, but we must speak and we must stand. Coming to a church near you, that's under my chapter, I think, on vilify, vilify, vilify. What happened is Missouri, Columbia, great church there that I'm acquainted with called The Crossing. A year ago, the pastor preached on Genesis 1:27, and he indicated a great deal of sympathy with those who struggled with their sexual identity and trans and so forth, but ended by saying that there are only two genders. God created the male and female.
Mm-hmm.
Just a usual sermon that you'd have heard years ago in a church. And well, the next morning, they are vilified. They're in the press. They're in the evening news. The newspaper, the state newspaper, has them on the front page. How can we have a church that is so intolerant? University students said, we don't know if we feel safe in a town that has a church that believes that.
Yeah.
By the
yeah.
way, I discuss that in the book. This is called safism, okay? Safism is where you hear something that offends you. You need a safe place, not physically safe, but emotionally safe, so that you can heal your emotional wounds and your unappreciated victimhood. So that's exactly where we are, and what are we going to do? You know, for years we've heard, oh, you know, the important thing is actually what we are for, not what we are against. That church had given $420,000 2 months before to help settle bills for people in the hospital who couldn't pay. And yet, did anyone remember that?
No.
Nothing was said about that, but they were vilified because they believed the scripture. So that's where we are at, my friend. And the internet has given people permission to make accusations that they don't have to defend. So everybody's angry about something, everybody's shouting about something, and we live at a time when the person who shouts the loudest sometimes wins the argument.
You ask a very important question in your book, will we confront or will we compromise? And I'd like you to take us, we're at this fork in the road, what lies down the road if we confront versus what lies down the other road if we compromise?
Well, I want you to know, Jim, I didn't write this book to actually reclaim the culture. I wrote it to reclaim the church.
Yes.
And that's why the last chapter of the book is entitled The Words of Jesus to the Church at Sardis, Strengthen What Remains. So what I want the church to be able to do is to say, we are going to stand. We're going to stand on the gospel and not get co-opted by social justice theories. We're going to stand regarding the biblical view of sexuality. We're going to continue to see the world as an enemy. I think that was the problem with the church in Sardis. They no longer saw the world as an enemy. And here we're going to stand, and we're going to take the heat. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward. So we're going to be loving, but not loving in a way. Let me put it this way. I think I say this in the book. In fact, I do. It is much better to speak the truth and be thought unloving and hateful than it is to speak lies with tolerant whispers of compassion.
Yeah. Dr. Lutzer, as you unfold so many matters in your book, you state that this book is a call to prayer, a call to repentance. As a matter of fact, you call this a Daniel moment. What do you mean by that?
Well, you take, for example, Daniel, and I'm thinking here of chapter 9, where he was on his face before God confessing his sins. And all of us know in the next chapter how, you know, Gabriel was actually sent to him, but was hindered because of a demonic spirit, the prince of Persia. You know, we can speak until we're blue in the face, but until God really moves in our hearts and moves in the hearts of our listeners, our impact is going to be very minimal. And therefore, what I think is, you know, people talk about fasting, for example, and I'm all for that. But I have to say that it isn't just a matter of fasting and prayer. It's a matter of fasting and repentance. When you look at the Old Testament, people were repenting, and they were also fasting at that time. But it is really, the church needs to take a deep look within itself. What about technology that I raised a moment ago? What about our submission even to the news? I know during Corona and the election, many of us, myself included, spent too much time watching the news to see what was happening. I discovered long ago that the world can get along without me watching it, and we need to rediscover that too.
Again, folks, the main purpose of this book is not reclaiming the culture. It is to reclaim the church, and so critical in such times. And Dr. Lutzer, also in each of your chapters, you do have a section entitled The Response of the Church, The Response of the Church. You've got a matter of prayer and a response of the church. The church really is so key and critical here, is it not?
It really is, because, you know, it's really the last bastion before the total collapse of a culture. And, you know, will the levees hold? Katrina would not have happened if the levees had not broken. And we are in the midst of a tsunami, politically, certainly, spiritually. We are in the midst of a tsunami in terms of a pandemic, and all of the fear that that generates. And so this is where we are at, and what we have to do is to say, we will stand, we'll take the consequences. And, you know, the martyrs throughout the years have given us examples that there are some things that are more important than worldly success, and that is to be faithful to Jesus and take what comes.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. We're going to try and squeeze a few questions in here today from you, 800-733-9829. There is much in this book, folks. We didn't even get into the matters of Islam. There's much in this, and did not we observe this here in 2020? We've seen Islam so engaged in our society, putting up a record number of Islamic candidates and Islamic engagement. Dr. Lutzer, you're sounding the alarm on this issue as well.
Yeah, that's one of the chapters in the book, is that the radical left joins with Islam to destroy Christianity and capitalism. That's why you'll find the radical left will never criticize Islam. Now, they have very different worldviews, but, you know, militarily, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So as long as Islam is like a battering ram against Christianity, the left winks at it, and that's why the ACLU actually allows for classes in our schools to be taught, for Islam to be taught. Not Christianity, but Islam. because they see that as a very important part of destroying our culture and destroying our Christian values. So those are the things that we need to wake up to. And, you know, Jim, you've been very, very kind in emphasizing the book. I do want to remind the people that the title is We Will Not Be Silenced, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. And I mention that only because I believe so very deeply that this book speaks to where people are at. Parents
yes.
will have answers.
Yes, yes.
And that is very critical.
It is critical. And friends, again, it's available. You can go right now to vcy.com, vcy.com, or call 1-888-722-4829 and request a copy or multiple copies. We Will Not Be Silenced. Again, that subtitle, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. It is happening, friends, and it is no time to hit the snooze button. Again, you can contact the bookstore at vcy.com, 1-888-722-4829. And let me just ask you this, Pastor Lutzer, because I know not only is this good for the Christian home, it's good for pastors across America to have this book as well. What is your heartbeat for pastors across this nation today as it pertains to this issue?
That they will not be silent, but be able to speak to the issues. I don't believe that pastors should endorse political candidates on the right or the left, but they should speak to the issues. They should instruct their people in such a way that the people have information and resources to stand against the culture. You know, and so even if you can't constantly be speaking about the sin of same-sex marriage or transgenderism, but preach on that and then make resources available to your people. You know, Bonhoeffer said that to be silent in the presence of evil is to speak. And there are tons of pastors who are speaking by their silence and allowing everything to go past. And we're in cultural streams now that demand action and demand courage.
Again, folks, that final chapter, Wake Up, Strengthen What Remains. Let's go to Ralph calling in from South Dakota. Hi, Ralph, you're on the air.
Yeah, just wanted to ask Dr. Lutzer, he mentioned that his church was closed due to the coronavirus. Is that not sort of bending to the culture? You know, Scripture demands us to assemble together.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Lutzer.
A very good question, Ralph. I would answer by saying this, that I think it's a matter of conscience at this point because, you know, there are churches that have been open and the virus has spread. If this continues, then I think the church definitely has to open and take the consequences. But for now, I think that there's room for disagreement on this issue and it's not worth a church split.
We're going to be back in 1 minute. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, our guest here today on Crosstalk, will squeeze some more calls in our final segment at 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. My friends, the globalists, the communists, the Marxists, the internationalists, the statists, whatever you want to call them, the change agents, they have stolen America through a long march through the institutions. Just as we have been warning for years, as Herbert Marcuse said, they would do, the cultural Marxists, a long march through the institutions. And they've destroyed many of them. They've destroyed a trust by the American people in the institutions that have made America great and upheld our constitutional republic. They've destroyed institutions like the U.S. Congress, the FBI, the CIA, the military, our voting system, religious institutions, the legal system. They have put in people to destroy the credibility of these institutions. So the American people now, many of them don't even trust the vital institutions that they knew were on guard to defend the republic. And now we, the American people, don't trust those institutions. That's by design, folks. They're winning through their long march through the institutions.
If you miss the information where you can get a copy of the books, stay tuned, because we'll give you the website and phone number one more time. And right now we're going back to the phone lines. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air with Dr. Lutzer.
Yeah, my question is, do you think in your heart of hearts the globalists have already succeeded in stealing America's ideology that the our founders have established, especially since we're lacking any kind of what I consider the Department of Justice, you know, like with the Durham report. And,
thank you, Mark, for that. Dr. Lutzer, are we at a point of no return? Are we already past the point?
I think, really, I hate to be a pessimist right now, but the ship has sailed. By that, I mean we're down that path. You know, the Humanist magazine and the Humanist Manifesto, which I quote in my book, is completely globalist. And that involves open borders, so you have a borderless world. It involves also definitely such things as climate change. How better to get the, remember this, United States is rich on the backs of other poor countries. That's the Marxist view. So the United States has to be brought down, and how better to do that than to have it give billions of dollars to other countries, which will be misused, but that's beside the point, to even things out. Now, that doesn't mean that the end is coming tomorrow. It could be the day after tomorrow or a long way away, but that's the drift. And the virus, the coronavirus, is adding to that. When you read all the information about, you know, how the vaccine is going to be used and how they'll know who has it and who won't. So there are all kinds of things that are popping in our culture that we have to be aware of.
Thank you for the call here, Mark. As a matter of fact, you'll find him addressing this as well in his book, the issue of COVID-19 and how our response is actually propelling us toward socialism. Let's go to Al in Bridgeport, West Virginia. You're on the air,
hey,
Al.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. And Dr. Lutzer, I love your show. Listen to it every morning that I possibly can. And, you know, you guys were touching upon something about winning the minds of the youth. And that's what they've been doing for years. And, you know, people talking about civil war, all this and the other. I've been talking about the civil war against the minds of the youth for years.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, like I said, time and time again, they're winning this fight. And we just got to get back to, but just got to get these kids back to God, brother. And it's just what I think. You know, they're taking God out of schools, and that was the beginnings of it all. And, the quotes from Hitler that you had in your book is very disturbing. But that's where we're at. You know, many years ago, MSNBC had an anchor on there, and she said, your kids don't belong to you. They belong to your communities.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they were really meaning.
Thank you, Al. Dr. Lutzer.
Yeah, very quickly. And the responsibility goes to the parents. We can't depend upon the schools, nor can we depend upon church and Sunday school. Godly parenting, putting down parameters, teaching the kids discipline, teaching them the Word of God, as that gets shifted to others, the home gets destroyed.
Thank you, Al. Let's go to Joe in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Lutzer. I appreciate your advice, and I just wanted to share for that question about ignoring the culture with not meeting in church, and I think it's a difficult situation, but you do need to trust God on one end, at the same time exhibit the wise personal responsibility or corporate responsibility, because you don't want to make an opportunity for your vulnerable population in the church to catch the virus. I think that, you know, it would be you'd be a hypocrite if you're going to meet at church just to be different from the culture. You know, and trust God that he's not, that, you know, you may infect your church members.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate your comment.
And I've already answered that and said that's why we need some latitude on this. It's a matter of conscience, and every church has to decide what to do.
Lynn is next in Germantown. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm just wondering if there's any possibility that this at-home schooling that we have all of our children in now is actually better in some ways because they're not actually getting a face-to-face with a lot of these philosophies that are being taught. They're kind of just getting subject matter all of a sudden, and I'm wondering if there's something going on, if God has a hand on that.
Lynn, thank you for that. And Dr. Lucer, I mean, we had a school district that tried to get parents to sign a statement that they would not monitor what was being taught through this virtual education.
I would say this, homeschooling is good, yes. If it's done right, if the children are given experiences, one of our daughters has done it. She takes them to museums. She takes them all over to various places so that they get a well-rounded education. And thankfully, yes, they are not confronted with pornography and the other things that are taught in our sex ed classes.
Okay, now Lynn is also bringing up this whole aspect of virtual education through the public schools.
Well, that's what's happening right now. I don't think that virtual education is the same as real interaction. If by virtual you mean that the kids just sit in front of a screen, it's very different if they're homeschooled, where they are interacting with a parent and discussing and connecting with ideas. I don't know. I think the jury's out as to how well these virtual classrooms are working. I think that kids fiddle around, but the experts will tell us, I'm sure, whether or not it was successful, but I'm doubtful.
Lynn, thank you for the call. We're less than a minute here. Dr. Lutzer's book, We Will Not Be Silenced, again, the subtitle, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. The VCY bookstore for a limited time. The book is new. It came out $17.99 to get it in your hands. And for you to get in other people's hands, they're offering this at 50% off for a limited time, plus any applicable tax and shipping. Go to VCY.com, VCY.com, or 1-888-722-4829. Dr. Lutzer, your final 30 seconds. What do you want to leave with the listeners?
I just want to leave them with the fact that Jesus Christ still loves the church and he's on our side. But at the same time, he told the church in Ephesus, unless you repent, your candle is going to be removed. So we cannot be presumptuous. We have to be vigilant. And we have to say, like Luther, here we stand. We cannot do otherwise.
Amen. Dr. Lutzer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And folks, again, you can go to vcy.com or 1-888-722-4829. A very impactful book, one that is a must read. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.